Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
Today, it's not about a preacher or an individual. It's about us corporately and individually hearing God ourselves. Look at someone, tell them, you got to hear God. Rather say this to them, you can hear God. Now that doesn't negate the other. That doesn't mean that we don't need the other. We're the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, if we are hearing God, we're hearing God together. And we're moving together in a frequency as the body of Christ. Different gifts, different callings, different graces, different anointings, different mantles. But we are an expression of who he is. All right? When we're truly hearing from God. But you, tell somebody again, you must hear God. And you know, having that ear to hear, sometimes you can hear him through a message. Sometimes you can hear him through a conversation. It doesn't mean that it's just limited to you praying and hearing God. But when you pray, there are times God will speak to you when you pray. Not all the time, but there are times when sometimes you open up your scripture, God will tell you where to go. Or he'll speak to you through the scripture. But you must have that ear to hear. Israel didn't have it because If the flesh or the carnal man or even the natural man is in control, he's at enmity against God. He don't want what God is offering. The natural man, that's you in your best state aside from God, don't want God. He's at enmity against God. In your flesh there dwelleth no good thing. That's why horror is important, that we die to that stuff. There's a weakness in God that's stronger than you. There's a foolishness in God that's wiser than you. That's our Kadesh Barnea, our entry point. Doesn't matter how someone can come to the altar and pray the prayer or say the prayer. Has their heart been? Is it for real? God knows. But so many have said stuff, but it's just said stuff. It's just said. But when there's a heart cry, it's like the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee went into the temple to pray and said, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this publican. I tithe. Huh? I fast twice a week, especially on Wednesdays. I attend all the services. I give to the poor. And the publican had his head down. Publicans were crooks. Cheaters. They were like under some of the medical industry. You know, just it's written into the systems. The systems are messed up. And he smote himself on his chest and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. And God said, you know, the one that left there justified was the publican. Think about it a moment. He left justified, not the one that was flexing, thought he had it all together. So understand that. It's a dying to the self. That's the entry. Listen, you may not think so, some of you, but it takes faith to die to yourself. To truly let go of some things and let God do it. Faith rest is not passivity. Like some would think it's just being passive or being lazy or you're not wanting to do something. Now, there's a distinction between all of that stuff. But true faith rest is that you've ceased from being anxious about stuff. you've ceased from putting, you know, time limits on God. Lord, you got to do it by this time tomorrow or else. You know, you stop worrying about things, making a fuss over things, and you've learned to rest. Faith rest. That's the ultimate goal. You rest. You don't stop doing what you're doing. You know, if I may use my wife as a small example, she has an anointing or a grace like Paul had. Paul made a step. He said, listen, I labor more than all of y'all. And she's capable of that. You know, but that's her grace. Right? Now somebody else try to get in that grace, you get mad. It's crazy. Or whatever your grace is, somebody try to get in your grace and do it, and they don't have the grace for it. Right? So it's important that we are able to lay aside these weights, die to these things. Let the word of God renew our mind, transform our mind, so that we're creating the reality of kingdom. Remember now, let's go back to it. They made the mistake, said, Lord, we don't want to hear you. We want to hear a man. Now, we can hear one another, and don't say, well, I ain't listening to the apostles no more. No, no. No, don't go there with me now. He said, don't listen to no man. I didn't say that. Follow what I'm saying. Let me make this plain here. I ain't listening to nobody else but God. Well, God will speak through people. You ever heard Holy Spirit speaking through people? Holy Spirit will speak through children. Yes, he will. When you have the ear to hear him. See, Israel didn't want to hear God. See, God will, the Lord will challenge you sometime. He came to them in an awesome way because he knew their depravity was deep. And so he had to deal with them in a manner to equal that. See, somebody that's been on drugs all their life or in and out of jail, and I'm not, you know, trying to paint a bad picture of anyone or anything, you know, it's happened. Or, you know, whatever, just kind of the dregs of society, really just been down there where the devil really beat up on them. Well, it's hard for somebody to just come to him and say, Jesus love you. You know, that might be how God chooses to save him, but let me just say, not likely. It's got to be somebody that God give a testimony to that can speak on the frequency where they're at. And they feel that frequency. And they recognize. That's why you've been through some of the things you've been through, to reach some people that are on the frequency that you carry. Everybody's not going to reach everybody. There's some people in high places that people in high places can reach. There's some people in the gutter, some people down there can reach. So, again, back to they did not want to hear God. That set a trajectory for their life. Stay with me. That set a trajectory for their life and why they remained in the wilderness. Now, we just said, God said, you dwelt around this mountain long enough. There's something that's been done on the inside of you. Look at somebody and say, stop playing. There's something that God has done. I prophesied this to you. I speak this into your spirit. Whether you are cognitive of it or not, God has done something in this last season in your life. And don't play around with it like he ain't done nothing. And you looking to go back to the leeks and the garlics and back into Egypt. No, God has done something. And has set your life on a trajectory. Your ladder's going to be greater. than your former. We're not, just about, I ain't going back to nothing. I'm moving ahead. Paul said it this way, forgetting those things that are behind you and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Not looking to the right or to the left, a man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit. Israel was not fit. God came to them in an awesome way to shake everything. But instead of them staying and enduring it, they said, nope, we're getting out of here. Moses, we will listen to you. But see, they just said that as a scapegoat because they didn't listen to Moses either. They didn't listen to Moses. Now, let's take a walk through this because this is written for our learning. So what happens here? Back in Numbers. Now, this is when they get to the entry to the promised land in Numbers chapter 13. I'm just going to give you the chapters. We won't get into a lot of details on all the verses in that. But in Numbers 13, now they're at the threshold of Canaan, the promise, right? Remember, we either die to self or we die to the promise. And they were at the threshold, and spies were chosen. Now this the King James, the way it words this is, I'm gonna say it's deceptive. It's misleading. Let me say it that way. He says in Numbers 13:1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among them. Now, with that having been said, it sounds like God is orchestrating and saying, okay, send men into the promised land to spy it out. Wrong. It was never God's intent to send spies. God didn't establish that. The people, remember, the people wanted a man. They were man-oriented. So the people convinced Moses, send spies to go spy out the land. Why would God need to spy out a land that he's given you?
Have you ever felt like God was calling you higher? Higher than routine, higher than religion, higher than just going through the motions. In The Rise of the Remnant, Apostle Trevor Banks Sr. helps you discover how to leave behind the weight of hypocrisy, distraction, and doubt, and rise into the fullness of God's grace, using the very skies above us, from the troposphere to the stratosphere. Apostle Trevor Banks shows us what it means to grow in faith, to push past obstacles, and to live as the authentic you. This is a call to transformation, a call to go deeper, a call to rise. Don't settle for surface living. Be part of the remnant God is raising up. The Rise of the Remnant by Apostle Trevor Banks. Available now wherever books are sold.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.reslifefl.com. That's www.reslifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.